All right, so we're going to briefly think about using scripture and illustrations in evangelism. So we've been week after week building little building blocks of evangelism. This week we're going to shortly consider the use of scripture and illustrations. So last week we considered Romans 10 a bit. As folks come in, we're getting full. If you have seats available, could you scoot towards the walls just so there's a little bit more room? We got a few groups coming in right now that need space. So thank you. Yeah, so last week we spent a bit of time in Romans 10. I like to start our class back in there. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to Romans 10. We're going to be looking at verses particularly 14 through 17. Let's see. Who looks ready? Anybody? Is that you? Could I have someone read for us Romans 10, 14 through 17?
How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Excellent. Thank you, Connie. I appreciate that. All right, so there's a long list in these verses, long list of progressing verbs, on and on and on, right? But in the end, how are, according to verses 14 through 17, how are people saved?
By hearing,
okay. Yeah, so, right, that's the end of this long chain, right? They have to be able to call on him, so they have to believe, right? They have to hear. They hear by preaching, right? So it's hearing. And what in particular do they have to hear? The word of Christ. Yeah, you see that at the end of verse 17. Hearing through the word of Christ. Now, what is this word of Christ that he's referring to? Is it just that name? If you hear the word Christ, you're saved. The gospel, the good news. What is? Let's remember. What is this good news that saves?
That Jesus died for our sins. You are redeemed through him.
That's right. Yeah. A great summary of that. Jesus died for your sins. Yeah. So I just want to point out right here at the start, right, that this the thing that saves us, what we've been reiterating week after week, right, is this word of Christ. It's the gospel. Now, where do we find this word of Christ that saves? I hear it whispered, shouted. The Bible, that's right, yeah. We didn't invent this, right? We didn't come up with it on our own. We don't reason it from, this is what I think God is like. We don't look out at the trees in nature and decide, yes, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, right? This is revealed to us from heaven by God in the Scriptures. So let's... just to note on your handout, we're filling in blanks here, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, right there, number one. But to be more particular, right, that this word of Christ comes from the Scriptures, the Bible. So let's turn and consider 2 Timothy verses 14 through 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Let's see. What's that? You got it? Go ahead. Yep.
But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, such wonderful verses about the power of God's word, the sufficiency of it. It's able to make the man of God complete, right? Equipped for every good work. I think including the work of evangelism, it can equip us for that. But in particular, I want to highlight verses 14 and 15. What does Paul say is able to make one wise? The sacred writings, which are what? The Scriptures, right? So the sacred writings, the Scriptures, are able to make one wise. And what kind of wisdom does he say it provides? What is this wisdom to?
Salvation.
Yeah. wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So yes, the sacred writings, the scriptures are what is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And I love these verses, especially for parents or anybody who helps in our children's ministry or influences young minds in any way, right? Timothy here had been acquainted with these scriptures, these sacred writings from childhood. So start them young. And this gets to, I think, a hesitation that maybe some people have, that I have felt, that sometimes we're hesitant to use scriptures in our evangelism because we think that they're difficult to understand. That people, we can cite the scriptures to them, we can read the scriptures to them, but they won't understand what the scriptures say. But Timothy, we learn, knew of the scriptures from childhood, right? They're so simple, a child can understand them. I love this quote from Gregory the Great, one of the ancient writers on scripture. He said this: "Scripture is like a river, broad and deep, shallow enough here for a lamb to go wading, but deep enough there for an elephant to swim." I just love that picture, that there are parts of God's word we heard from Psalm 23 a few weeks ago, right? That the lambs were afraid even of running water, right? But here, the shallows are so shallow, the waters are so shallow that a lamb can wade in without fear. But they get so deep that, I don't know if you've ever seen an elephant swimming, but it's amazing. They are so deep, the waters of the scripture, that elephants can swim in them. And I think that's just a wonderful picture of what the nature of the scriptures, right? There are profoundly deep waters. I've been studying the scriptures frequently for 15 years, right? And I still don't understand most of it, I would say. But all Christians of all ages have affirmed something about scriptures, that the message of salvation contained in the scriptures is accessible to all. The 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, it's a wonderful historic confession of faith. So, you know, nearly, 350 years ago? What was that? People were saying this about scripture. They believe this. They say, "Some things in scripture are clearer than others, and some people understand the teachings more clearly than others. However, the things that must be known, believed, and obeyed for salvation are so clearly set forth and explained in one part of the scripture or another that both the educated and uneducated may achieve a sufficient understanding of them by properly using ordinary means." So that's a doctrine that we hold to called the clarity of scripture, the perspicuity of scripture, to use a heavy word there, right? It just means that God has so written the scriptures that what is necessary to be saved can be understood by all who read, uneducated and educated alike. That God has willed himself to be known through his scripture. He wants to reveal the message of salvation through the words of his holy testimony contained in the scriptures. So I think, what does that mean for our evangelism? How should we use scripture in our evangelism? Well, I have three proposals, but the first is be confident that God uses the testimony of scriptures to save people. We can be confident that he uses the Bible to teach people the saving message of the gospel. Now, I want to be clear that people can be saved without reading the Bible, but they can't be saved without an understanding of what the Bible teaches in the gospel. If they don't read it in the Bible, they're going to have to hear it from someone else, right? But we can't reason from our own logic. We can't observe in nature the message that is contained in the Bible. Right, we need the divine message of the Bible to be saved. So we should expect God to particularly bless the words of Scripture, the testimony of Scripture, as we read it, as we use it in our evangelism. Now, I think that's the message of Hebrews 4:12. So could you turn with me to Hebrews 4:12? Another powerful statement on the Word of God. And can someone read for us that one verse, Hebrews 4:12?
"For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Mm.
That's a heavy, heavy verse. But I think that says something about the use of Scripture in our lives. I think we can testify and say that we know that God's Word in our lives has been living and active. According to this verse, what does it mean that God's word is living and active?
Meaning that it's more alive than we are.
It's more alive than we are.
Yes.
Okay, so life does not come from us, right? Life comes from God's word. Yeah, yeah, it's more alive than we are. That's right. What else?
It's relevant.
It's relevant. How do you see? Who said that? Where do you see that in the verse? It's living and active, so it's relevant. Okay, yeah. What else? There's more to be said here, yeah.
It's moving hearts.
It's moving hearts. What do you mean?
That when you read verses, sometimes it speaks to your heart, and it makes your heart swell, and you get this profound epiphany of the truth that it's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so especially that last phrase of the verse, discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I think that the Bible is able to do that better than we even are able to do that for our own hearts, right? Scripture elsewhere affirms that our hearts are our mystery, right? That we don't even know what's going on in our hearts. We don't know what we love or obey or why. There's so much going on in our hearts. But this says that the Word of God can examine and discern the closest spaces of who we are, right? The heart there is talking about the inner person, where our thoughts are, where our will is. The most intimate parts of who we are, the Bible is able to discern that, to examine it and show it to us. So I would say it brings the subconscious, what we don't even know about ourselves, to light. And that by the activity of God. It's not some magic talisman that if you read it, all of a sudden, right, you understand yourself better. But actually this is God revealing ourselves to ourselves in light of who He is. Aren't there any questions on Hebrews 4:12 or statements about that?
I think it's important to understand that God's word never comes alive to us.
Mm-hmm.
We come alive to God's word.
That's right.
We're spiritually dead.
That's right.
And we need, that veil taken off. We come alive to the living word.
That's right. Yeah, it might feel like that there's something going on there, but right, that's the truth, right? That God gives life. We are spiritually dead, that He gives life, and He does that through His Word. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's just a powerful motive there in Hebrews 4:12, that it has a power that is unique, that is blessed by God. So we should be confident in light of that God will use His Word. He has promised to. We know He does in our own life, that we should be confident to use His Word in evangelism. And one way I think that we can use His Word in evangelism is to memorize Scripture to use in evangelism. Memorize Scripture to use in evangelism. What I don't imagine is that everywhere you go, you carry around your study Bible, your massive study Bible, and every time you have an opportunity to evangelism, flip it open and let's study through the third chapter of John to learn about the birth from above. Though that it will be appropriate at times, I think. One of the greatest ways to use Scripture in evangelism is to memorize it. And I particularly have in mind especially what I would call contact evangelism. So there are a lot of styles of evangelism. I have in mind kind of those whoever's sitting next to you on the plane when you're flying across the country, your Uber or taxi driver. Short opportunities that you have. You know that you have maybe three minutes to just a few hours to talk to this person about the gospel. You don't have time to sit down and study a passage at length. So it's good to be equipped, to be ready to explain the truths of the gospel just from memory, not having to let me get out my smartphone and look up the verses and figure out things here, right? So I would suggest memorize particularly each of those four elements of the gospel that we've covered in weeks past. So at least a scripture on who God is, one on the nature of sin and our fall into it, one on Christ and the salvation He provides in the gospel, and finally one on our response to the gospel. The gospel requires us to repent and believe. I have four listed there in your handout, just suggestions on each of those, but you can memorize ones that you think are more useful, ones that maybe you've already memorized and you realize that this would fit well into those four parts of a gospel presentation. You can memorize dozens. This is not exhaustive. This is just a list of suggestions. But it's good to be able to at each point to the authority, the testimony of Scripture, as you present the gospel to those you're sharing it with. Can anybody give testimony to how they view particularly memorized scripture, that you've had an opportunity to memorize some scripture and found that it became useful in sharing the gospel or explaining some scriptural truth to someone? Andrew?
Yeah, just in conversations with people, like verses that I didn't know I had memorized.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know how or why, but
okay.
The Spirit brings it to mind.
Okay. That's good. That's very good. Warner.
Mm-hmm. And so God uses it in a way that is fresh upon my brain at the time, and I can help point the person in the
face. That's rich. Thank you, brother. Yes, Zach.
The prodigal son parable is basically a gospel presentation from a shame honor perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So especially for cultures where those two motifs really resonate, the prodigal son is a great story form, dishonoring the father, being accepted. You're not really, I mean, you could say it verbatim if you wanted to, but even just sort of retelling it.
Yeah. That's good. That's really rich. Yeah.
I have got a number of Catholic friends.
Okay.
And it's great when we're talking to be able to pull to mind some scripture, because we can dialogue a lot, but then they don't argue against the actual quotation.
Mm.
They don't have any scriptural support for the position.
Mm-hmm.
Limited for what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Chadwick. So on the other hand, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, music is a great way to memorize scripture.
That's right.
It's one of the most powerful and effective ways I've ever found.
That's right. Yeah, that's very true. If you have trouble memorizing scripture, finding a good CD with some scripture set to music is a wonderful way. You can listen to it for hours, and all of a sudden you have it memorized. Any other testimony to how God has used memorized scripture in life? In evangelism opportunities?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have a friend who struggles with the God of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So I use oftentimes Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, where it talks about God giving his people eventually a new heart and with a new covenant.
Okay.
And you have to have a new heart to be saved.
That's good. All right, well, that's encouraging testimony. Thank you. I would encourage you especially... if you think that that's something that you want to do, to memorize scripture, to help you, to do that with somebody, to have accountability and help in that, to find a partner, whether that be a housemate, a spouse, someone in your community group, just find someone to do that together and encourage one another in that practice, because it can get difficult. But I would encourage you to keep in mind that if you just kind of cite some scripture, if I have John 3:16 on the ready and have it good to go, There are some mystical silver bullets that will, you know, hit their heart and save them. Ah, because I cited John 3:16, they're saved, right? So in addition to meditating on scripture or memorizing scripture, meditate on those verses you've memorized and think about how, if someone who's never heard this verse or any of the concepts that this verse is talking about, how can I explain that to them, right? This is something that we talked about a few weeks ago, right? That often when we're evangelizing, we can talk over people's heads because we use terms that we're familiar with as Christians, but might have totally different meanings to someone who isn't a Christian. Did you want to comment then?
Yeah, so when I was reading through John 3 with Frank, he had heard John 3:16 before, but in context, he realized, wow, Jesus said this? Jesus claimed to be God, the Savior? I did not know that.
That's rich. That's a great, perfect example, yeah. Yeah, so remember to explain, study scripture in context as well, but when you can't, explain the meanings of these verses and ask questions. Ask how they're understanding it, or ask them for questions. What questions do you have about that verse? Don't just kind of rattle it off and expect them to understand it as you have. So memorize scripture to use in evangelism. And next, invite people to engage with the scripture, as Andrew has just referenced to it. Invite people to engage with the scriptures. So if we memorize scripture to use in contact evangelism, here I have in mind those opportunities we have to build relationships with people. I don't think that you should understand that your evangelism is just, every time I see them, I'm going to share the gospel with them and hope that it takes seed, right? Actually, that you should invite them to engage in the scriptures. Whether that means that you're inviting them to a study that you're a part of, but I particularly have in mind inviting them to study the scriptures with you, to sit down. I think that's one of the easiest ways people find who have never studied the scriptures to study it with one of their friends. I particularly suggest the book of Mark. It's got wonderful stories. It's a short book, but any of the Gospels are good, as Andrew said, studying through the book of John. If you've never done that, if you've never led anybody through a study of the Gospel of Mark or another study, I suggest the study guide on Mark called Christianity Explored. And a number of people in this church have gone through that, so you can just say, hey, I want to learn how to teach the Gospel of Mark using Christianity Explored, and someone would be happy to help you do that. But you also don't have to think that you have to do it alone. You can team up. Again, this is a church effort in evangelism. So if you feel like that I can't do that, ask someone to join you with it, join you in that study. So the three of you, or maybe a few other, can join you in that study and slowly work through that gospel together. Go ahead.
Just testimony to that.
Yeah.
When I was a senior in college, read through the Gospel of Mark, and that's what the Lord used that scripture to bring into.
Praise God. He loves doing that.
Because nobody led me. Mm-hmm. It was just reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are four different formats of that. You can invite other people to, you don't have to sit down and study it. You could say, hey, why don't you read through a chapter of Mark? We'll get together and just whatever questions you have. I can't promise to answer all of them, but we'll wrestle through them together. So yeah, that's good. And just remember that maybe many, maybe most people don't believe the gospel the first time they've heard it, or maybe even the 10th time they've heard it. So it sometimes takes long, deliberate exposure to the truths of the gospel to sink in, for them to understand. I think many of us can testify to that in our own lives. And what better way to have that continued exposure to the truths of the gospel than reading through and studying through the words of Scripture. So I would encourage you to think about studying and discussing Scripture in your relationship evangelism, to think about ways that you can invite people to be engaged with the scriptures. We're going to move on to still illustrations here in a moment, but are there any thoughts on using scripture in evangelism? Any comments, questions you have about how to use scripture in your evangelism? Go ahead, Karen.
I just think that the part that always kind of gives me a hiccup is that to want to know the scriptures, you have to know that you're broken.
That's right. That's right.
You think they think they're perfect because they know God. And I think transparency goes a long way in saying, I need this.
That's right.
Because I'm broken or sinful. And sinful is a really tough word for an outsider who doesn't know anything about Christians, because it feels like finger points.
Yep.
It's not.
That's right.
So reckoning that with somebody, then that opens the door to being, you know, to wanting to see what the scriptures say, because it provides a way out.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's very well said. Yeah, we and kind of on the heels of that, it's a good idea to always apply in explaining the scriptures, apply it to yourself and give testimony to how this was true in my life, how I saw this, or at this point in my life is when I realized this truth about God, and I hadn't been living that way. You know, so never acting like that we've got it all together and we're here to clean things up for you. No, that we're bringing people to the person who can clean up and is continuing to clean up our lives through His grace. Yeah, it's wonderful. Warner?
Can you talk briefly about what if you're in a situation, because I've heard this a lot of times, to the person who says, I don't know if I can memorize scripture or recall it at that time when I'm talking to someone.
I would sympathize with them. It can be hard, but I would encourage them that you can memorize more than you realize. I bet they have songs from the 90s memorized, you know, word for word, or something like that. Repetition really helps, and something that you enjoy really helps. So I would encourage them that and give them tools for that, but also encourage them with the promise that I think the promise that Jesus gave to His disciples about the Holy Spirit's ministry in their life is true for us, right? That He uniquely has the ability to help us call to mind those things. And it should feel like we're dependent on the Holy Spirit in that. Lord, give me the words to say. If they are from your very word, please. So I think dependency on the Holy Spirit as we memorize, and then in those moments, when we're coming to those moments, and I see it right in front of me. Here's an opportunity. I've memorized that verse. Lord, help me to depend on him in that moment. Yeah, Russell?
Mm,
that's right. Yep.
I put the two in the wrong spot or whatever. But, you know, I think as we're thinking about using the scripture in evangelism, if we're getting the gist of the scripture, it's a lot better than not using the scripture at all.
That's right.
So, yeah, courage. I definitely want to memorize it, but not allow that.
That's right. That's good. Don't let the perfect be enemy of good. That's right. Anthony?
You're also dealing with what Lord was saying, because I often just stumble around these words too when I try to. Mm-hmm. Bible or whatever, or scripture passage. So I'll oftentimes just try to rehearse like the message of that verse or just paraphrase.
Yep, that's good. Yeah, Andrew?
Yeah, and just an encouraging reminder that the first missionary Jesus sent out was the demon-possessed man who was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have much scripture memorized.
No, no.
But the Lord sent him out and said, tell what the Lord has done.
Yep, that's right. Give testimony. Amen. Yeah. And Julie?
That, you know, I really woke up this morning struggling with loneliness, and then I read in the Word, and what the Lord said, is I don't give them enough time to say their response, oh, it's okay, don't be lonely, or whatever their religion would say answer to that. I answer it, so that they're getting to hear that I woke up broken this morning, or I'm struggling with this morning, because the Lord answered it in this moment. And so it's also just painting a picture of
that's right. That's amazing.
And so I think it also then is intriguing. Wait a minute. Let me read that.
Yeah.
And that people are interested in it after you even just let the Lord demonstrate himself through you in your own brokenness and struggles.
Yeah.
So speaking your struggles and answering it to them.
Yeah.
And it just breaks down that I'm perfect.
Go ahead, Karen.
Like, there's all those things in Christianity.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, like, Lord and God and Jesus, you know, just pick one.
Yeah.
But for folks who never hear Christianese, God is a good word. The word sounds really, like, apron-y.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just those little things that can make you feel like you're not part of the club.
Yep.
Are so difficult.
Yep. That's right.
It's so helpful.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful. Amen. Yeah, well, thank you guys for giving thoughts. I would encourage you to think about and pray that the Lord would help you to use his word, the Bible, in evangelism. But let's turn to the back of your handouts to cover illustrations briefly. So we're covering today's scripture and the use of illustrations. So what we mean by illustration is to illustrate is to make clear by giving or by serving as an example or instance. So right, what we have in mind is when we think that people aren't understanding, which is totally understandable, right? The concepts that we're talking about, the scriptural truths that we're trying to share, just by plain statement of the truth, that the use of illustrations, so stories, help people to understand these truths. And Jesus understood this well, right? He used a lot of stories in his teaching. So we're actually going to look at one in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, to see how Jesus used illustrations to teach spiritual instruction, to give a spiritual instruction. This is a heavy passage, but a good illustration on how to illustrate. So could I have someone read for us Luke 13, verses 1 through 5.
Those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them think that they were worse offenders than all others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Very, very heavy verses. Don't read these lightly. But I do think Jesus is instructive in this, not just in the truths that he's teaching, but how he taught them, right? So what is happening that Jesus is commenting on here in these verses?
A mass killing.
Yeah, a mass killing. So there in verse 1, just some in the crowd are talking about an instance where some Galileans were killed when they were, it seems like when they were offering their sacrifice.
It was a current event?
Yeah, yeah.
It was something that he took and used that very current event to teach a truth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then there's another thing. So they're talking about this, and he brings up a second one, which is what, down there in verse 4?
A tower falling, so kind of like an accident.
Yeah. We call it maybe a natural disaster. We don't know exactly what caused this tower to fall, but yeah, a tower falls and kills people. All right, so Jesus is using both instances of human violence and natural disasters. They provide an occasion for spiritual instruction for him. So both human violence and natural disasters provide an occasion for spiritual instruction. What spiritual truth, just for our own sakes, what spiritual truth is Jesus teaching here in these verses? We're all sinners, right? Yeah. So he's their assumption is that because this happened to them, they are worse, that they're more deserving of death, right? And he comes back and says it didn't happen because they're worse. That all equally deserve death, and he has this truth in there, right? At the end, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So he's getting to this application to you who speculate on this, and wonder about this current event, right? Dying tragically in this life is terrible, but it's perishing before God that you are to fear, right? Death can come at any moment, so only repentance will prevent death that lasts, that you need to repent of your sins to ensure that you do not perish eternally. So, yeah, this is a wonderful example of Jesus drawing from current events to illustrate biblical truths. He turns their conversation, what they're talking about, what's going on in the news, to talk about biblical truths. Have you guys ever had any opportunity to do something like this in your own life? Something going on in the news, something, some current event going on that you've been able to turn to talk about some spiritual truth? Warner.
I can remember when 9/11 happened. Mm. Or any national disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It just provides excellent opportunities for people to talk about the truth. Even mm-hmm. funerals are great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, going back to 9/11, I remember like an actual event, October of 2001. October is the Navy's birthday.
Okay.
And so we were playing the Navy birthday concert, and big event. We're there all day. Typically, after we've set up, I'll find somewhere to practice or to read the word. And so I found a little place to hide, and I was hoping nobody bugged me. And I'm reading, and one of the guys from the band, who's absolutely not a believer, comes and he sits next to me, and he sees I'm reading my Bible, and he says, "Man, I wonder what Jesus would say if he saw what's going on nowadays."
Mm.
And I thought, this might not be exactly an illustration, but I said, "Well, you think this is unique?" So I took him back to Romans chapter 1 and just read it down with him and said, "There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
These horrible things have been happening." You know?
Yeah.
He hasn't repented yet, but you know, it's just good to see that all these disasters stuff, you know, they're just part of a cursed world.
That's right.
World.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Connie? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm. That's wonderful. Go ahead, Dean.
Y2K, my neighbor was freaking out. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I perish, I know where I'm going.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yeah. Cody, go ahead.
As a giant restructure at work,
okay.
Especially in this area, to find people where they put yep. their hope in. Yep. A lot of mm-hmm. conversations that hopefully will bear fruit over time, being able to turn them back to what do they put their hope in.
Yeah.
Security,
so. Yeah. Yeah, these are all. Oh, do you have to come on?
Church in Charleston, and then there's a shooting.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Yeah. I was just on the treadmill and talking to the lady next to me. She's like, how could they forgive? And they're talking about how, like, those people in the Bible study, like, the families were already, like, mm-hmm. they forgive this guy. And, like, I was like, that's the hope that they have is in Christ. And, mm. you know, and she's, like, really touched by that.
Yeah.
Just something current about it.
Yep. That's wonderful. Man. Somebody get, last one. Go ahead.
I think there's Allison.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can take anything though.
Amen. That's right.
So, like, we talk about the baptism of God, and I think, you know, God made up property rights.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, mm-hmm. what are we driving by? I mean, mm-hmm. oh, you know, God, He's mm-hmm. with everything. So, I think mm-hmm. if we're thinking that way, God will use it.
It's,
use
that's
the
right.
topic to be able to bring it in.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to think that it's only 9/11 and things of that scale, right? Mm-hmm. This seems like it was happening, you know, there. The week that this is taking place in Luke 13, right? So just have a mind as you experience, as you listen to the news yourself. What spiritual truths does this encourage in me? Does this confront in me? And if you have opportunity to talk to someone about that, if you see someone reading the newspaper, if one of your coworkers mentions it, to talk to them about those things. But it's not just right. It's not just violence and natural disasters that provide opportunities for spiritual instruction. Jesus had a tendency to use everything to illustrate spiritual truths. So we could spend the rest of this whole evangelism class looking at how Jesus used examples from everyday life. What kind of things did Jesus use from everyday life to provide spiritual instruction? Just shout them out. There are going to be so many. Agriculture. Water.
Birds of the air.
Wind.
What else? Judicial disputes.
Judicial disputes, that's right.
Salt light.
Sorry?
Salt
and light, that's right. Yeah, salt and light.
Walking.
Talk about walking. How easy does it get? Bread, building houses.
Family dynamics.
Family dynamics, that's right. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Stones.
Stones. Fishing. Great illustration, yeah. I mean, there are more. We could keep going. And it's not just Jesus, right? That other authors of God's inspired word used illustrations, right? This is common. But no one more than Jesus, right? Yeah, he talked about bread, water, shepherds, farmers, sweeping. How mundane does it get? Lighting lamps, birds, flowers, wine, food, everything. Garrett.
Just real quick, it's really interesting. When you read Peter and James and the other authors of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
Mm. The teachings to the church.
That's right.
I think Jesus gives those, expecting that we'll do the same.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and that's a good connection to the first part of our class, that actually some of the ways that we can illustrate truths is to use the illustrations that Scripture provides, or use stories in Scripture as illustrations for whatever we're talking about in our evangelism. Yeah. But I just want to point out that Jesus always, always, always was connecting deep spiritual truths with the simple things of everyday life that people would understand, right? These were not complex things. And no parable is an exact explanation of the truth, right? But you're looking for the main point. So I would encourage you here to live life with eyes open for illustrations. Expect that there are things that are going to be happening to you every day that will illustrate deep and important spiritual truths. Right? You can get started by reading through Jesus' parables and seeing how he saw nature around him, work, everyday life around him to illustrate spiritual truths, and just pray and ask for eyes to do the same. And I would encourage you to make a habit of remembering those things. If you live a life that way, that they should begin to come naturally to you. But it's a good practice to make a habit of remembering them, to write them down or do something so that it's not just an observation that you have now and forget in the future, but do something so that they can be useful to you in the future. I can't leave you without one example. I want to give one example of an illustration, how we take something that everybody in our society would be familiar with to teach an important and central spiritual truth. So it's a dreadful thought, but say someone murdered somebody that you love in cold blood. I think that, that immediately weighs down on our hearts, that they are found guilty of the crime by a jury of their peers, and now they stand before the judge for sentencing. And the judge, considering the criminal and the crimes, decides that he's going to show mercy. Right? He's not going to give the criminal any sentence. He's free to go because the judge is merciful. Now, I wonder, in that moment, as you watch this happen, would you think that that judge is a good judge? No. No, there's something in all of us that cries out for justice, that justice must be done. He is not good. A good judge will punish all evil. And that's the mystery of the cross, right? That God is able to both be just, that he punishes sin, and merciful. He is the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus Christ, right? He gave our crimes their due penalty by punishing them in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that on the cross he suffered the punishment that we deserve for our sins. But he is also able to show mercy to us, that because Christ suffered the punishment for those sins, that he is able to show us mercy. And friends, that's more than just a cool illustration, right? That's the good news of the gospel. That this is the truth for all of us this morning as we gather to worship our God, that God has shown us mercy not because of our deserving, and not because he has decided to not be just, but he is just. And in his justice has shown us mercy through Christ. Well, I would encourage you to think about, memorize such illustrations, to look for illustrations in your own life.